true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
All right, another day of battling with the fucking, what's it called? Technical challenges.
Yeah.
So hopefully this is a good sounding somewhat.
And it's on me again because I bought a new microphone because I lost the microphone, but I forgot to buy headphones. So we were effed yet again, foiled again.
Yet again.
Yeah.
For those wondering about that joke, Katie bought a Yeti blue microphone.
Okay, so you were going to tell us about synchronicities that happen.
Oh my God, it's been a week. It's actually not, it's strange. Okay, so at the start of this week, I was like, holy shit, I have zero work. I have nothing on my calendar. And it was a little daunting. I was like, I can't have a week with like no income or no things that I'm earning money doing.
You remember that you told us this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so, yeah, and it just got weirder in the sense that, so first off, our friend, we already told this story in the last episode, so we don't need to go into it deeply, but the friend.
What was his name again?
We didn't give him a name. We just said he.
Okay, let's call him Fred.
No, Frednell.
Frednell.
So Frednell is in Rome and he he doesn't know why he's in Rome because he's not having the most touristy time. And then suddenly he has to get his pancreas. Nope. His appendix out. And that was wild. And we both were following that drama.
And it ended up being free. So we thought, oh, synchronicity. That's why Frednell is in Rome because he gets free surgery.
Yep.
There.
So that was wild and woolly and interesting. And the reports are he's doing fine. He's back staying with his cousin and just chilling and recovering. So if people are worried about Frednell, Frednell's good. Frednell's taken care of. So the much smaller synchronicities were so many little tiny ones. First off, I had nothing to do this week. And then suddenly I got contacted by one of my other bosses who's like, oh, this project that you weren't supposed to do, suddenly they've all signed up for it and no one told us. And so we're behind the eight ball on this. And suddenly I had to like schedule 12 different clients, blah, 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 get this email out, all the things, organize this whole thing that I would not have been able to have time to do. I would have said, no, I can't do it. And we would have all been screwed.
Yeah.
And that also lines up with, so last weekend, my car took a dump on just getting off the bridge.
No.
And just crapped out. And I got it towed from San Francisco back to my house.
No.
Which cost me only like $60 because I had AAA and they go 5 miles and I needed 10, but it's fine.
Great.
It's all a big deal.
Great.
And then I had to have it towed to the mechanic that I like, who is exactly 5 miles away. So
yes,
that was free. Yeah, that was just cute that it was exactly, or it was like 4.83 or some ridiculously perfect number.
Amazing.
And then they call me back. And you know how, like, if it's going to be X amount, it's actually worse because if it's going to be a medium amount, it's actually worse because, you know, like, well, I guess I should spend yet another $1,000 on fixing this car, another $1,000 on fixing. Nope, it was going to be at least $5,000.
Oof.
So that's easy. Done. I'm done. This car, it's almost 20 years old. It is an 18-year-old Prius. It's okay to say goodbye. More on that.
Good for you, Cass.
So then,
letting go.
So the first synchronicity on that was last weekend, right after my car had been towed home. I went and did a little family gathering with our kith and kin folk, which is a group of families that I've grown up with my parents' friends and stuff. And my godmother out of nowhere says to me, hey, we're trying to get rid of our Prius and your mom said you or she might want it.
What?
Like, I didn't say anything about my car being in the shop. She just came up straight up to me and was like, do you want our Prius? I mean, we haven't figured out if I'm going to buy it or not. That's a future question. But I was like, interesting, because my car's in the shop and it might be kaput, but let's hold off on that thought. So it was like, just that, like one goes away and literally like the same car, only younger and with you know, half the mileage on it is possibly coming back into my life.
That's unreal. You know what that makes me think of is the idea that nature abhors a vacuum.
Yeah.
Really. Like when you release something, something else has to come in. That's how it works. And that's, but what a positive version of that.
Yeah. So that happened. And then I found out a couple of days later that indeed my car was. And so I called them up and said, let's start that ball rolling. And they're working out some details with their daughter who's moving back to Europe, but might need the car for a little while. So I might still need to blah, blah. I might need to rent a car for a month or something, but no big deal. And then I'm like, okay, let me figure out how to get rid of my car. The garage suggests, you know, calling just one of those cash for cars because it actually is a clunker. Probably can get around $1,000 for it. And that was another thing. So all day yesterday was spent, and there's no way I could have done this had I not been 100% free yesterday.
Right.
Because it took constant phone calls, nonstop, 8 different companies, and then the subcontractor of that company, and then we're going to call you back, and then we have to confirm with the garage that it's paid for, and then we got to send you to the schedule with the pickup, and then they're going to call you when they're coming, and all, and then it's just exhausting level of stupid detail, including dealing with like really pushy people who are trying to say, oh yeah, we'll give you $300 for it. Okay, we'll give you $350. Okay, we'll give you $375. I was like, this guy's going to give me $850 for it, so go to hell. Oh, okay. Fine. They were really pushy, really exhaustingly so. The only rudeness that occurred with me was that towards the end of the day, that lady called me back and was like, just following up, did you make a decision? I was like, yeah, someone gave me 3 times the amount you were offering and I'm done. And she was like, and then she kept talking. And I was like,
oh, give me a fucking break.
And then she was like, oh, well, how much did they give it? And she kept saying, well, ours is guaranteed. Ours is guaranteed. What does that mean? You don't think everybody's telling me it's guaranteed?
My dick.
And so that was the only time I got rude. She goes, well, how much was it? And I said, that's none of your business. And I'm hanging up.
Good for you.
And I did. But then I was like, so that whole process could not have occurred had I not had a completely devoid week.
I get it.
So in a sense, it's like I earned that $830. That was my income for the week, my work.
Fuck yeah.
So, which also lines up with the quote for a 1 month rental that I found. Number wise, if I need to rent a car for a month, it's going to cost me like $790. So it's just like, it just
fan fucking tastic, all of it.
I just had a series of setup, payoff, setup, payoff, setup, payoff. That's not going to work. That's going to work. And I'm going to put out a plug right now. The people at Arts Automotive in Berkeley are the coolest, most patient, most helpful people.
Wow.
If you want to deal with a garage that's very professionally handled, aren't giving you any bullshit, they were helpful 100% of the time, even though I'm only paying them like $112 for the assessment they did. They kept my car 3 days in their little storage.
You want to know what's tripping me out about what you're saying right there is I need that garage right now.
But you're here, but you're there.
Yeah. Like synchronistically, right at this moment, I need to find a garage. And I got a referral from someone who will replace the piece of my car that was wrenched from it in the sandstorm.
Jesus.
Which, how many people in their life get to say that sentence?
Yeah.
When the sandstorm tore a piece of my car off, then I had to find a mechanic. I just think it's very funny.
Okay. This one's dumb and it has nothing to do with synchronicity, but so I was driving over to Arts to clear out my car in anticipation of the tow company coming to steal my car away. And right as I am passing the turn that would have been like, I'm close to my work jobs, the office for Feet First.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have to shit 100% right now.
Oh no.
And if I'd have been going to Arts, if I'd have gone on to Arts, I'd have been like, what am I going to do? I guess I'll use their bathroom. But boy, it is desperate. But I was like, oh, if I just turn left right here, I'm at my job and I happen to have those keys with me.
So I was no just like, shit.
I was just like, yes, shit.
Yes, shit. Literal feces.
So that was the tiniest bit of synchronicity. The luck of the shit timing.
Now, all of this, I want our listeners to think about all of this in the framework of Mercury retrograde, because we're in a Mercury retrograde, but see, it's where we want to not frame a retrograde as bad. Things get wonky, but it's so that you can review and slow down and go, what do I actually want?
I like this.
What's actually correct? So like they always talk about machines die, don't buy a car, don't sign a contract, machines break down. Here you are. None of it is fully completely resolved, but it's all wonky and getting resolved all in the same moment.
See, that lines up with like Denise and their whole thing with their house. It's like you can't avoid but sign a contract during Mercury retrograde. It's not like you can say, well, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
You have to continue with your life. But things went cattywampus. Wow. I just got chills. I'm literally sitting here talking to you and I get a message which popped up on my computer screen from Denise.
Oh my God.
Saying that their house sale just went through and it's official. Like, as I am speaking those words, it popped up on my screen and it said, boom, done.
Oh my God.
I'm fucking chills right now.
You should be chills.
Fuck.
That is fucking the shit right there.
That was amazing. Like, words coming. You saw me. I interrupted myself.
Listen to me. Now you're experiencing, see how excited you feel now?
Yeah.
That's how excited I always am because of all this shit always happening. And people look at me like, what's the big deal? And I'm like,
oh, I love synchronicity. It's the coolest shit, especially when it turns out for the best. You know, when it sometimes synchronicity is like, what the fuck? Why did those things have to happen at the same time? But I've been experiencing So what I'm experiencing is what you're describing with Mercury retrograde is fuck. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Fuck. Oh, okay.
It's funny because it's the exact thing that came up in my 3-card spread today. Because, you know, I do one at the beginning of the week and I do one at the end of the week for people.
Yeah.
And the end of the week one, I just recorded it shortly moments ago. And it was, remember that there was a bunch of messages in it. But one of them was, remember that just because you're in a dry desert and things are moving slowly, don't frame that as bad. Frame it as, okay, I'm. What am I getting out of? Why is this happening? How is this happening for me, not to me? And when you start to just look at like, what is in this that is valuable? Or like access consciousness way of saying that was, what's right about this that I'm not getting? And in your case, you're just being handed the what's right about it like quite quickly. Right. Yeah.
Why do I have to shit right now? Because you're near your office.
Now, I would offer you, here's a trippy idea. I would offer you that that's happening because of your spiritual development.
I'll take it.
And because what I say, what I see with people and what happens with me and everyone else I've ever seen and worked with, and I work with people all the time, is the more activation and alignment they do, the more that's how it goes. Even when you're in a retrograde and things are falling apart, you're shown why it fell apart quickly.
Mm.
It all falls apart because it's coming together for the better. But that's when we have an intimacy with consciousness or the divine.
And sometimes that struggle is much longer and it's not as immediate. Like I'm experiencing these tiny little ones that are very immediate, like set up, payoff. But I think the challenge when we're in these moments is when they're deeper and more embroiled for a longer period of time that feels terrifying.
Point is for people and for you is to say, if you can see that this is happening here, you can believe it could happen on the places where you're having to wait longer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you're listening right now and you're in a retrograde where shit's just falling apart, I'm trying to show you through Cassidy's example right now that if you prioritize having an alignment with consciousness or spirituality or God or love, whatever you like, you're going to see faster results on the turnaround time. And B, you don't have to panic even if you don't see faster results on the turnaround time. It's all happening for you, not to you. The outcome is coming around. So why bother with spirituality? Because you want the outcome now.
Yeah.
Faster.
Yeah.
Want basically in the Buddhist framing of it, you want less suffering. That's the whole point of fucking spirituality is less suffering. Get this shit. I was just in therapy on your point just before we got on, which thank you for being patient because it pushed our time back and we were having such a profound thing happen in my field in the session that she was like, can you stay an extra 10? And I was like, I can. I'm going to go to
Catholic. No, I have to go report a podcast. It's vitally important.
Anyway, I wrote this one sentence down. She said, the whole thing of Buddhism is if it's not about alleviating suffering, it inevitably will fail to alleviate suffering. In other words, if you're doing something that's about money, property, prestige, power,
uh-huh.
it will create more suffering. But if you're doing a thing that's about alleviating suffering, it will alleviate suffering.
Okay.
That's not to say never do anything that's not entirely intended to alleviate suffering, except I think I'll put it like this. If you're following strategy and authority, right, let's take it through the human design loop. Let's even be more practical. Desmond, you're going to have to bleep a thing now. Yesterday, I had this callback audition, bleep a thing now, at bleep a thing now. I said in the room, four people in the room, three dudes and a woman. The woman was the director. Articulate, clear, direct, but not mean, kind, loving. I took the notes. I nailed the notes. She liked me. I liked her. It was just a great audition experience, right? Which of course means nothing about getting the job. And I said to her in the moment, thank you so much for an incredibly satisfying audition experience. This was great. And she was like, yeah. And I go, fucking yeah. You gave super helpful feedback. It changed my perspective. It worked. I was able to hear you. I respected how you communicate. We were on the level. I just listed all the things I thought were great about what she had just done. And she was like, hey man, it's really nice to meet you. This was great. I go, it fucking was. And then I like fist bumped the reader who was like a real actor reading with me. And you were the fucking best. He was like, thanks, man. It was just like, great. Okay. As I'm coming out of there, I'm like, I did it and I'm proud of myself. And oh, I succeeded. And I drove here for 2 fucking hours through traffic and had like a 3-minute experience that was just tops. I checked my phone and I got an email from my new agent, the one I keep talking about, who I'm so excited about. This is where you're going to have to bleep this. Desmond, like, please, please, please bleep this. But with an audition for a fucking bleep a thing now. Okay, so, you know, and it's 4 lines, but it's 4 lines where I get to be 2 people. It's fucking cool. Okay, and it's an audition, so whatever. But that comes in and my agent is like, we need you to fill this NDA out immediately and send it back because we can't send you the sides until you fill the NDA out. And I was like, well, I have an hour and a half drive home, but as soon as I get there, I'll fill it out for you. She's like, great. So I'm driving home and I'm thinking like, wow, what a fun day. What a great day. I've been wanting a new agent. I've been wanting an agent who could get me TV and film auditions. I've been wanting someone who could help me put my show that's also a healing event on the road. And this woman is doing all of that, all of it. Not to mention, this is all coming back to the suffering idea. Not to mention the woman, her second agent, one of the other agents in the agency lives 3 minutes from me. I probably talked about this last time. Did I talk about this last time?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. My name is Katie. Her name is Katie. We met. We had coffee. Totally hit it off. She's their LA, New York person. She's already submitting me for... They're just cool people and I like them and I feel good about it. And I can't believe I like them as people. I just do. It's weird. So I've been sitting with like this ever since this, you know, and I'm going to put the thing on tape tomorrow and submit it tomorrow night. Okay. So I've been kind of sitting with this going like, what is the relationship between pursuing things we want and suffering? Or like, you know how people always have, ooh, it's 2:18. It's my magic time. It's my birth date. You know how people, okay, it's funny too, because this came up in fucking Star Beings this week. One of the main conundrums spiritual people have, this is all coming back, I promise, is do I pursue my dreams or do I accept what is? Because once you start to understand, the more you accept reality on reality's terms, you have a lot more peace. But then in order to pursue your dreams, you have to kind of like head away from what is toward what you want. And the teaching is it's both. It's always both. Everything is always both. So you head towards your dreams and then everything that comes up in the meantime, where you're in resistance to what is, that's your work to do. And the more you do your work on your resistance to what is, oh, I didn't book the movie. I didn't book the job. I didn't get what I wanted. You become more in alignment with who you really are, which then makes it easier to create your future. Okay. Now you might discover by doing your work about what is in relationship to where you're heading or the dreams you're pursuing that you don't really want to pursue those dreams anymore. You want to pursue other dreams. But the point of having dreams, it turns out, is to get you moving towards something that will then get you doing your work that is in relationship to the pain that heading towards your dreams brings up. Okay. The point of doing your work of the pain of what is on the way to getting your dreams is that it makes you who you actually are. It turns you into your aligned true self. Okay. Your whole self, your integrated self, your healthy self. So then when you think about it, the longer you do that and you become more integrated, more whole, more at peace, but you still have dreams. now you're wholer. You're pretty fucking whole and you're heading towards your dreams. Let's say you're me and you're feeling pretty fucking whole and good. And every day there's more wholeness and more. And still I desire these things. I'd still like to book a fill in the blank movie. And I'd still like to play this part on stage. And I'd still like to do all that stuff. What is one to do with the notion of there's suffering on all ends of it? Like if we come back to this sentence, if it's not about alleviating suffering, it inevitably will fail to alleviate. It inevitably will create suffering.
Right.
So is pursuing one's dreams about alleviating suffering? Or is pursuing one's dreams not about alleviating suffering? And I had this realization today that I'm like, oh, pursuing your dreams is about alleviating suffering because two reasons. One, the thing I just described, where as you head towards your dreams, your shit's going to come up about it. Process it, less suffering. Two, when you get your dreams, less suffering.
Sure.
So it's inherently not selfish. It's like I'm saying there is proof, people who are listening, that you pursuing your dreams is not selfish or flawed or not politically activated enough. There's nothing wrong at all. Like, in fact, it's the pursuit of non-suffering. If it alleviates your suffering, think how much more non-suffering you can bring to the world.
Right. Yes. Yeah. You got to take care of yourself in a sense, because a well taken care of you is a much better person in the world.
Yeah. And also, like, if I get to do what I want and make more money doing what I want, which is what I want, I get to be more generous.
Yeah.
Our Sufi teacher, who was a perfected master from Jerusalem, who was all about like starting orphanages and healing the world. He used to say, if you like to be generous, it's good to be wealthy. He's like, go ahead, donate to the orphanage, but not if you buy dinner after.
Right. But also, yeah, that the counterpart of that is don't hoard your fucking wealth, because that's not an alignment. That's a different thing.
Yeah. Because the question comes back to, if you hoard your wealth, does that alleviate suffering?
No.
No.
Because it doesn't alleviate your own suffering, because you're not suffering because you have plenty.
Yep.
So somehow that hoarding is actually extracting from the rest of the general energy. And that's a whole problem.
Yes. If you have all the money, put now, where are you going to put it?
Yep.
Which comes back to the idea of abundance is this thing of give, take, flow, take, out, in. It's a verb. It's an action verb. It's abundance. You know, money comes, money goes, money comes, money goes. But when you bring it in and just hold on out of fear, then you wonder why no more is coming in, because you're fucking holding and you're closed.
I have that's connected to the question I was thinking of asking if we needed something to do in the records today.
I love it.
And it's about time as one of those resources.
Okay.
So I think we talked about this last time, but I'm not sure, but I'm going to re-bring it up. Denise pointed out to me something, and it's been really batting around in my head about me and my fear of like, my fear of travel, not fear like I don't want to travel.
Talked about this.
But it's about time, because okay. I don't want to fucking make plans, because I'm afraid to make plans. I'm really starting to realize this.
Right.
I'm afraid to make plans. And sometimes that's next week, because something, quote, something might come up.
And then what is the something?
In the generic sense.
An acting job?
An acting job. But that's so like abstract and not true when I think about it, really. Because like, I mean, yeah. Oh, I got to be careful about what I'm going to do in June, because there might be a thing, summer theater, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I don't do something 6 months out. That's a little more understandable. But then I've noticed it like even like 24 hours out or a week or two out. And it's always about like, oh, I can't make that plan because this plan might occur.
Right.
Might. Maybe might.
I've worked with this one in myself, so I'm really familiar with what you're talking about.
And I'm seeing like the hoarding of wealth similar to the hoarding of time.
Agreed.
In myself.
Fully get it.
But because what I'm actually doing is hoarding my time for no reason, because it's not actually, I have enough time.
Yeah.
So I'm holding more of it than I need. And I'm, as a result, I'm missing out on a fuckload of just
life.
Living.
Yeah. 1,000,000%. Can I share one thing with you about what happens on the other side of processing that belief?
Please.
Is that you find out that, okay, this is, I have to think of a minimally woo-woo way to say this. you find out that, okay, the woo-woo-iest way to say this is, on the other side of processing that belief, like that's an energy in your heart and we can process it and you'll clear it. And then all of a sudden you'll be like, oh, I'm free to make choices. Oh, weirdly, I wound up having enough time for all of it. That's actually not the woo-woo way to say it. That's good. It's a practical way. In other words, yeah. Like, let's say you book a trip for a week from now, and then your fear comes up. Uh-oh, I'm going to block myself from being able to do an audition, let's say, because I booked that trip. But if you clear that fear, right, you process it, you cry, it moves out of your body, then it's just gone. Then all of a sudden you find yourself on the trip, getting an audition, and synchronistically, you're right next to a studio that you rent for an hour and you do the audition anyway from Sedona.
Yeah.
That's how time works for you, like you're seeing right now in this retrograde where the answers are, because you healed something else that unlocked that retrograde miracle for you. So when you unlock this one, you're going to see that you actually get to, this is the woo-woo way of saying it, control or bend time. Another way to say it is time works on your behavior, on your behalf, and has your back if you have no blocked energy around your beliefs about time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited for you.
Yeah. So that's the thing that needs. Yeah. I would like to heal that. I'd like to shift that out, knock that block out.
Let's do it. I have to pee. Let's do it in 2 minutes.
Okay. And then we do have another question from a listener if we want to do that as well.
Okay. Let's do both.
Well, we got a half hour to take care of a couple of things. Why don't you go pee?
Yeah, I'll be right back in 2.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Rami here. So I'm recording this while still in an Italian hospital, but I don't know when you will actually be hearing it. And trigger warning, this is about death. This morning I watched somebody die. We were across from each other in our room. And so for the last few days, we've been sort of staring back and forth at each other. She was pretty sick and I'm able to get up and walk around a little bit. So occasionally I would give her a hand with something, but she was pretty sick and we didn't speak the same language, so it was a little, you know, complicated, the communication. Anyway, in my sort of medicated state, I was in and out of sleep, and every time I would wake back up, it was like watching a new scene in the drama. And so, I saw all of her family come and say goodbye to her and cry, one after another come in, and she was pretty unresponsive. And then I fell back asleep. And then the next time I woke up, all the family was gone out of the room and she was, let's say, not show ready. So she was like kind of splayed. I mean, she was naked mostly and uncovered, and she was she was connected to a bunch of things, including she was connected to this like very oldie timey looking cardiometer, a machine that created printouts of her heart, whatever, but it was making a mostly a straight line. I was like, that's a straight line, a shoot down. But then every once in a while there'd be a movement in the line, I guess, but everyone's in a gray while. And then I think I know the moment when she died, because my body at a certain point was all of a sudden full of adrenaline, just like, oh my God, just I was like shaky and antsy, and I was like, I gotta get out. And I think that was probably when she passed. And then they covered her back up and made her presentable. And then the family came back in and paid their respects for about an hour. And then they left and two men covered her up and took her body away. And then a lady came in and started cleaning things. And including she rolled up the mattress. This is not a large woman. She's a short, stocky, deeply Italian-looking woman. She rolled up the mattress and put it in a large plastic bag and then dragged the bag out of the room like she was a Fellini character. Yeah. And that was all before 1:30 in the afternoon. It's actually 4 days until my mother's death anniversary. She also died in a hospital, and I was in the room when she passed, but it was just me. It was not a whole family visiting her. But actually, really, it was just me in this room with this lady, too.
Aberyn.
And when my mom died, the moment she died, I wasn't aware of it. I was watching Letterman or something. And it was so unceremonial. And, you know, you have these fantasies that the moment a person dies is going to be meaningful. And I remember how wrong it seemed that I was just watching Letterman and I missed it.
Hovering.
But it's because of that moment that I took on the idea about time that I developed came from that moment. Certainly we talk about it a lot, you know, that time isn't really linear and all times exist at once. But that was the most comforting thing for me, the concept that all times exist at once, and therefore the last time is not the most important time. I'm sure there's a better way to say that, but this Rami's Rules has gone past where I thought it was going to go when I started talking. I'll leave it there.
Okay. So can you, when you're ready,
yes,
have you close your eyes and just wait to think about making a plan for 2 weeks from now? Denise says, can we go to Sedona in 2 weeks? And you're like, oh. And then just try to get connected to the part of you that goes, I can't because of this fear. Let me know when you're feeling it.
I'm actually just thinking about my parents, and I have made a plan at this point, but when they first wanted this plan to occur, I was so fearful of the time involved. So I'm kind of touching in with that, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's something. Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it very vividly. Like, oh, I can't do it for that long.
Let me know when you're touched into, in your heart, the feeling of I can't do it that long.
I think I am.
Okay, so sink into it. It should feel kind of tight.
It's sort of fluttery for me, like panic.
Okay, good. Okay, stay with that. Oof.
It's also making my jaw hurt, even unclenched.
Yep, perfect. Stay, sink into that pain. You're doing perfect. Yeah. A lot. And for the listener, feel into whatever your version of this is or whatever tightness you have around whatever limiting belief you're present to right now.
It's not in my heart, but it's, boy, my lower jaw, my entire lower jawbone. My teeth are aching.
Good. Stay right in the center of the worst part of that aching.
I just went into my head for a little while and started making plans.
What kind of plans?
I was like, what fun adventures could I have if I free this block? And then I started just coming up with some. Like, all of it. But yeah. And then I was gone for a little while. on that. I went, you know, in a sense to sleep, like, because I went on a little vacation away from this space.
But sometimes the reason I'm asking what kind of plans is sometimes we go there because the thing is clear and now you're making plans.
Oh, I started making the plans because I felt the jaw thing, whatever the fuck that was. That was intense. I felt like I was chasing the little pieces of it around because it was dissipating. I was like, oh, there's one in that corner. I was running around my own jaw looking for little remnants of the pain. And there's still a little there and a little there, but it's.
It's also what they show me is it's also like it's just dissipating now, so we don't have to work on it. That's them. Now, let me ask, have we cleared the entirety of this belief for Cassidy? Yes.
Oh.
Any related beliefs that could use? No. Yeah. So sometimes we pop up into our head because we're avoiding the pain of the process, but sometimes we pop up because we're done.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like I had this exciting, like, ooh, what am I going to do with this? That was cool.
That's good news. That's how you know.
Yeah. And I actually want to acknowledge, like, going into this, I want to thank both Denise and Carolina, who are both people who have pointed this shit out to me of, like, my own limiting beliefs around, like, giving myself good things or traveling or, like, giving myself presents.
I love it.
So I just want to acknowledge that. And thank you, Katie, for getting in there and digging around.
Absolutely.
That was cool. That was weird. I'm just, maybe, I don't know. I'm going to ask a question you can tell me you don't need to know, but why the fucking jaw? What the fuck was that?
Just about to tell you. So it was actually, okay. I think we probably talked about this on here before, but this always bears repeating for everybody. Every limiting belief that has a stuck energy like that in the heart has a secondary stuck energy in the brainstem. It's sort of like if you go like, oh, I can't, you tighten around an idea and you go, I can't because of this fear. And you don't process that. It hardens and hardens and hardens and then runs up the nervous system into the brainstem and hardens there like a kind of resin, emotionally unprocessed resin. But when we process it in the heart, it usually moves up into the brainstem next. And sometimes it's a little too intense for the individual to experience the brainstem hardening. So it'll show up as a secondary pain, either in the throat or the jaw or the tongue or the lip, somewhere up here in the front of it. So you were feeling it here because your body was compensating for this tightness in the brainstem by clenching here. So what was happening is the unclenching. You were becoming aware of it as it unclenched.
Yeah.
I was watching it move back here in the brainstem.
Interesting. Yeah, it was like, it was literally my entire jawbone and my teeth, but not the top. It was the lower jawbone and the teeth of the lower jawbone were like, rawr, rawr, rawr. Like they hurt. Like I need a root canal. Like it was weird.
Yeah.
And I also like I want to thank you and the master teachers and all the energies that actually allowed me to have a visceral experience, which I often don't have.
But that's because you're more ready for that now because you've been doing work.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of, I hate this, this comes from them. You have a lot of Denise to thank for this too. Not just for pointing things out, but also she's actually energetically contributing to you. Like she's activating you. When you guys bone.
Yeah.
It's like her being transmits conscious light into your spinal column.
So she's also a pussy wizard?
Pussy wizard.
Just like you.
In her own way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying that.
Alhamdulillah. My pleasure. Thank you, Matt.
That's good. Woof.
Yeah.
Limiting beliefs. Yeah. That's a thing. I have a lot of them.
Well, perhaps we'll do another one next week.
Yeah. Fuck, keep working on those shits. Everybody needs that work. Yeah. I hope y'all can get that transmission because that shit was good. It was tasty.
I'm so glad you're perceiving it and receiving it.
Yeah, that might have been the first time where I felt the energy happening in real time.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I've been able to like visualize it happening sometimes, but I feel like I'm seeing it much more. Whereas that time it was just like, I'm working it. Oh, ow, ow, pain. Oh, it's moving. It's dissipating and it's gone. And I didn't have a narrative around that happening. It just was happening.
More open and more receptive. because you've been spiritually activated through this work and through Denise's boning you.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. I love it so much. Do you want to do another question that we had from a listener? We have a perfect amount of time to do it. So let's do it. Let me find it. It is right here. I think we have done one for this person before, but I don't think we did this one. It's from Carly Mara, who we have done a question for before.
Okay.
I think so. She doesn't say anything about don't use my name or not. So let's just be okay with it. Hi, Katie and Cassidy. I am having some health problems, diagnosed with one hormone disorder and treated, then told actually no hormone disorder and stop treatment, thyroid. I feel as though I'm literally dragging my bones around this low energy life, needing all the naps as the pits, and it isn't for me. My father died 10 months ago. Can grief affect us physically? Is this a manifestation of sadness turned physical? Also, is my dad around me? I'm having trouble dealing with his physicalness not being in this world anymore. I would really appreciate if the record keepers can shed some light on this for me. Thank you so much.
That's great. Okay. Well, I'm just dropping into the records of Carly Mara. Give me just a moment. Okay. Well, first of all, of course, yes, absolutely, 100,000,000%. Grief can, unprocessed grief, grief that you don't feel and cry through and process out of your system, absolutely shows up as physical problems all the time. In fact, that's what, that's everything we talk about every time we're here. So yes, that can be what is happening. Now, in your case, the thing that they're calling a hormone problem that they now say isn't a hormone problem, is it grief-based? No. Is it unprocessed emotions? No. Is it past life stuff? No. Karma? No. Is it a physical problem? Yes. Okay. Is it thyroid? No. Is it another hormone? No. Is it nervous system? No. Digestion? Brain? Chemistry? Heart? Endocrine? Blood? Cancer? Bones? God, what is this? And what's going to help it? Okay. She needs acupuncture. Is it chi? Yes. Okay. Emotional, no, physical, spiritual, other people's energy, curses, spells, entity, demons, aliens, no. Chi? Okay, was there a trauma? No. How did this happen? Stagnation in the chi, sitting, not moving. So, okay, for Carly here, I would go to an acupuncturist. God, I really wish we had her, because I want to ask her, has she already tried acupuncture? I don't think so, not at least on this topic. You're gonna need the herbs too. They give you herbs. Tell them exactly what's happening. Go to a legit ass acupuncturist, like a Chinese herbalist. Five element would be ideal. Go to a five element Chinese acupuncturist, herbalist, or whatever is it? Yeah, for whatever it's worth, I think the one that's going to work best for you, it's that I see him, he's a man, and I'm only telling you that. It's not that there aren't amazing female and non-binary acupuncturists, but the person you're going to want to work with is this man, older Asian man, acupuncture, stagnated chi, herbs, and they'll know, they'll take your pulses and you'll tell them what's been happening. How long has this been happening? Is it related to her dad's death? No. Is it other people's grief? No. Is it her grief? No. Is it stagnated grief? No. Well, that's what I get for you. Is there anything else we can know about this right now? No. Okay. It's like when you're on the table, the acupuncture table, and your person is working with you and hitting the points and the energy's moving, you're going to find yourself having emotional processes, breakdowns, meltdowns, crying, shaking, like that, sobbing, you know, your jaw will shiver. Don't resist this. Let it happen. and know that this is the disentangling of whatever it is that's creating the low energy for you. And it needs to just process out of your system. So when you're on the table, expect to go through stuff and don't fight it. Also, when you're on the table, you're going to have flash images in your mind that will flash in front of your eyes, where you will realize where this all started and what this is all about. They want you to have an integrated experience of coming to understand this through your own bodily healing process. You're also going to discover that some of this was from a certain age in childhood. Age 2, some of it is age 6, some of it is age 13 and 17. Some of it is much later in life, 55. I don't know if you're that old. Anyway, that's what they give me. If you're not that old, is she that old? I think so. If you haven't hit 55 yet, it's about something you would have met up with at 55 if you don't do this work.
Timelines.
Window panes, slices of life. Okay, so, oh yeah. They're going to show you images and you'll realize, oh, this piece that I'm processing today through crying and shaking and shivering on the acupuncture table was about when I was 2. Oh, this piece today was partly about when I was 2 and partly when I was 6. So you can't and you don't need to know what it was about ahead of time. You just need to do the work. And in doing the work, you'll receive awarenesses about where it all began.
Great. Love that.
I have a question I want to ask. Let me close her records and then I'm going to throw this out at you. Thank the masters, teachers, and love us for the love and compassion, lords of the records for the point of view of the Holy Spirit of Light for all knowledge and healing us. So you return all of Carly Mara's energy to herself. Now, please so you return her to her complete human wholeness now. The divine portal, the Akashic records of Carly Mara are now closed. Amen. The divine portal, the Akashic records of Carly Mara are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Carly Mara are now closed. Amen, amen, amen. Shadawan Layla, illallah, Shadawan Muhammad Abduhu, Rasulullah, Allahu Akbar. Okay. Okay. So when our friend, I have 10 minutes to do this. When our friend, Fredler?
I forget.
Fredlin.
It was funny, but it's not anymore. It was Fred something.
With Fredner. When our friend Fredner was asking me at the time, I didn't formally open their records and they asked, I was just getting information. Do I go to the hospital? And I definitely got, yes, go right now. But then they asked, is this appendicitis? And I got to know. It had more to do with gallstones. Yeah. So I want to understand why that was. So I'm wondering, do we get into the records of consciousness? No. Do we get into Fredner's records? Yes. Okay, so I'm going to do that silently to save their identity. This is fun. Okay. Okay. So why was I getting gallstones? Do they have gallstones? Yes, they're in development. So Fredner had said to me at the time, I think I might have, I should worry about gallstones because my cholesterol, are the two connected? Yes. Okay. So I was seeing that, but then why was I getting a no on appendicitis? Is that because I just wasn't formally enough in his records? Mm-hmm. Yes, but also something else. Like it was just a misread on my part? No. It was partially a misread on your part because you weren't in the record. And partially, there is an interrelatedness between the appendicitis and the gallstones. So, yeah, that was all you could perceive because you needed to like not be driving a car and sit down and ground and open the records and you would have gotten more intel. But also, it is important for this person to look at, to handle, treat, process, get ready for, deal with gallstones so that there's no more secondary problems that can occur as a result of them. I wish I knew more about medical stuff. You say stuff and I'm like, is that even a thing? Is that how that works? Like,
I have no idea. No one really knows what the appendix is or what it does.
Right?
Somebody does, but I don't.
But like, it's a thing in the medical community that we're still like, it's sort of vestigial.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It just gets in the way.
Yeah.
It just occasionally goes haywire. And that was another weird piece of synchronicity, was that I had two friends within 48 hours with having their appendix removed.
What?
Our friend, she announced it on social media. So I could, our friend Sydney also had it like the day before.
I saw that post and I thought that same thought. They're both having this.
Yeah.
I forgot. What the fuck? But see, that's some red.
And also, she had gone, synchronicity. I don't know why she'd gone back to stay with her parents, but she had. Because, you know, she lives out of a van, an awesome van, and she has a cool life, but not the best place to deal with recovering from, you know? Like, so she was like, I need to go back to Colorado for a little while, do whatever I need to do. I don't know why. She probably has reasons. I know she has reasons, but it waited until she got there.
Amazing.
To be like, all right, deal with this now.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
And also we have this Scorpio full moon today, or eclipse, Scorpio eclipse, which is about release.
Right. We have the 5-5 eclipse portal or some shit like that.
That too. Yeah. Which is releasing. And so it's like.
Get rid of some shit. Literally. I released a car that, let's be honest, has a lot connected to it.
Yeah.
That car has Rami. It has Rami's mother attached to it.
Hmm.
It has a lot of baggage attached to it.
Yeah.
Beautiful baggage, but baggage nonetheless.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Well, let me close these records real quick. I want to thank the Master.
Yeah, you got to jump off.
Lords of the Records, the point of view, Holy Spirit of Life, for all knowledge and healing. I say return all of. Right. Divine portal in the Akashic Records of. Okay, really cool. Really good stuff. Ah, what a cool episode.
What a cool and brief. We did so much in less than an hour. That was awesome. I love you so much. I probably have to get on a plane soon and just fly to you because that's.
Will you please come?
Maybe you can hook me up with your agent. I'm just saying. Maybe I need. That's not how it works. I know. I love you to pieces so much.
Love you, boo-boo.
Rock and roll love.
See you soon.
See you soon.
Bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
I believe you. I don't remember, but I totally believe you.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.